Father, we give you the praise. We worship and honor you. Thank you for a day like this. Let not one person live here today the same way they have come. We worship you. Please be seated. We worship you, Master. We give you the praise and the honor. You are welcome this morning in Jesus' name. Agbanwe. Odogwu akataka. Oku nerere. Nare. Kele mo. Nare kele. Aro tutomo. Nare kele. Ekele. Ekele. Nare kele mo. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I bring you greetings from the country of Nicaragua. Managua, Nicaragua, the capital. We had a very great and explosive time there. We shall be showing you the clips shortly. But in order to be very, very sharp, this service, we are looking at authentic spirituality. Secret of the Blessing, part 2. Our objective this morning is to understand the connection between authentic spirituality and the blessing of God. Number 2 is to understand what constitutes authentic spirituality. Many people want the blessing of God, but not many people know that there is one thing to do and what every other person is looking for begins to look for you. God's servant Bishop Oyedepo calls it the master key of life. The connection between authentic spirituality and the blessing is established through our scriptures. In the first service we saw Abraham, we saw Job, we saw Daniel as people who were authentically spiritual and they didn't beg God to bless them. In this service, we shall look at 3 more examples. Number 1 is David. David was called the man after God's heart, not the man after money. Not the man after fame. Not the man after position. Not the man after title. He was the man after God's heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and in verse 14. God speaking to Saul said, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." Acts chapter 13 verse 22. David was called the man, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Not the man after money. Not the man after fame. And what was the outcome of such a man? 1 Chronicles 29, 26 to 28. See how David ended. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigning in Hebron. And 30 and 3 years reigning in Jerusalem. And he died in good old age, full of days, full of riches, full of honor. That is how the man after God's heart, that was how the man after God's heart ended. That is the end of people after God's heart. Not after money. A lot of people are after things. And they are wondering why God is not blessing them. Number two example here is the man King Uzziah. In 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 5. The Bible said, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He was a God chaser that ended up becoming the focus for the chase of things. As long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. How prosperous was King Uzziah? Look at 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 9. The Bible said, he built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, the valley gate, the turning of the wall. He fortified them. He built towers in the desert, dig many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in camel, for he loved husbandry. Can jump to verse 12. 13. Alright, go to 14. Uzziah prepared them helmets. Now, he made engines in verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines. That is like artillery invented by cunning men to be on towers. So that is like armored tanks. And upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows. He had engines that were shooting missiles and great stones wither. And his name spread far abroad. For he was marvelously helped till he was strong. That is where many people crash. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted. That man died miserably. But for as long as he pursued God, life was good. That was King Josiah. Third example was King Jotham. 2 Chronicles 27 and in verse 6. The Bible said, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. He didn't prepare his ways before altars and idols and shrines. He prepared his ways in front of God. Question is, what is it that makes authentic spirituality? Number one, it's dieless, unconquerable passion for God. That was what I said in the first service. But I will say the flip side of it in the second service. It is dieless. Yes, you can leave that. It's dieless, unconquerable passion for God. Which also means restless pursuit and search for God. Restless pursuit. That is how we'll address it in the second service. Restless pursuit and search for God. What you pursue determines what you possess. That is, you are restless for God. You long for God. You want Him above all else.
In Psalm 68 and in Psalm 63 verse 8, he said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. If you will follow hard after God, he will hold you up. Hold you up. We saw already King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 5. For as long as he sought God, God prospered him. Psalm 24 verse 4 and 5. Said, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he said, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He says, this is the generation of them that seek him. Seek God. Many people are in search of several things in this life. They wake up in the morning, God was not on their schedule. They didn't remember to pray. They are about to step into a marriage. God is not inside it. They are about to step into certain business. Say, God apart. No. Your pursuit of God determines your possession in life. Show me what you are pursuing above every other thing, and I will show you where you will end. That is guileless, unconquerable passion. Restless pursuit and search for God. Number two is lively living conscience. And in this service, I will call it a healthy, functional fear of God. Healthy, functional fear of God. Where the man is truly in reverence of God. Proverbs 19:23. He said, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The one who fears God abides in satisfaction. Proverbs 8:13 said, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, is to hate evil, to hate pride, to hate arrogance, to hate the evil way. Psalm 112, verse 1-3, he said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. See, whoever fears God must be blessed. He said, the sea shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. We looked at Job chapter 1 and in verse 1 and then verse 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Your fear of God determines the flow of his good in your direction. The fear of God is a magnet for the flow of good.
Many are looking for the good that God has without the fear of the God of heaven. Fearing God means your conscience is awake. Fearing God means you don't take loss into your hands. The fear of God equals a healthy respect for God. A healthy respect for how God feels about things. I said in the first service, there are people coming to church that are still patronizing herbalists. They are church people, but they are very traditional men, local men. When you see them in the village, interacting with the villagers, you will never know they ever went to church. It's at the forefront of the sacrifice. Everything local, everything traditional, is aware of it. What need to be offered to appease a God? Who, which God will you serve? The God of heaven or the God of your ancestors that did not benefit them? That didn't benefit them in time. Which one will you serve? Some are still looking for money by dubious means, looking for money, what they call Yahoo Plus. Whether it is a Yahoo minus or Yahoo Plus. In the fear of God, there are businesses you won't touch. In the fear of God, there are discussions you won't entertain. Lively living conscience, a healthy, functional fear of God. It attracts His blessing. It attracts the flow of His good. Number three is a Christ-centered, a God-centered living. In this service, I call it making God the reason for living. Making God the reason for living. In Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, Paul the apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet, not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ-centered living. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. Acts chapter 17 and in verse 28, Paul the apostle speaking said, in him we live, for in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, for we are also his offsprings. Making God the reason for living. The reason why you go to work, you want to represent him there. The reason why you make money, you want your money to persecute the devil and take souls to heaven. The reason why you dress, you want to glorify him with your appearance. You know, in those days, Christians didn't tell people that they were Christians. Once you saw them, you knew them. But today, there's no difference. They say the world is churchy. The church is worldly. So there is no difference. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You didn't mean, I mean, you saw a Christian brother or a Christian sister of 79, 80, 81, 82, of SU, of FCS, of NIFES, of those things. You saw them, it was clear. In fact, there is a climate that they carry that rebukes you. Once you come around them, you feel sinful. But today, Christians are competing with the world for badness of dressing. Badness. Badness of look. Badness of appearance. And they will defend it. God sees after the heart. But whatever is in the heart reflects on the outside. How did you know that a mango is ripe? You have not tasted it inside, but you see it from the outside. Most times what is inside overflows to the outside. We know the content. You see a madman, you see him outside, you know an unclean spirit is inside him. That is why he's unclean outside. So the kind of things inside us reflects on how we appear, how we look, how we carry ourselves. There are so many people today, life is not centered on God. Nobody should tell me what to wear. Nobody should tell me where to go. Nobody should tell me who should be my friend. And yet you want God of heaven to bless your selfishness. You live the way you want. You do the things you want. And you want him to still place his stamp on you. No, sir. The time has come. Living a life that is centered on God means even the decisions you take, employment decision, job decision, relocation decisions, all decisions are around how will it affect me and God. This new work I want to take, how will it affect my spiritual life? How will I impact the life there? That is, it is not all about money. It is about meaning. This is very important. This is how some of us live our lives. When I was a medical student, I couldn't go to a certain place to read. Everybody went there to read. I couldn't go there because I figured that if I was there, read overnight, I don't have any arrangement for my quiet time, my prayer in the morning and study of the word. So I couldn't go there. I had to be where I will read conveniently and pray conveniently when it is morning. It was as if you didn't read there, you won't pass. But that was not my case. I didn't have any cause to write any exam twice. I hear what I'm saying here today. So it is a God sent. Centered living. When you represent him, he becomes responsible for you. Did you hear what I just said? He becomes responsible for those who represent him in their generation. He is responsible for you. It's a God centered living. It's a secret of the blessing. Number four. Is demonstrating passion for God through passion for souls. The way I put it in this service is laboring with the Father for the harvest of the earth. Authentic Christianity is laboring with the Father. God the Father, you are laboring with him for the harvest of the earth. In Matthew chapter 9 verse 36, Jesus said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Keep going. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the next thing he did was to send them. You are laboring with the Father for the harvest of the earth. In John chapter 15 verse 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. The blessing is tied to going and bearing fruit, so that anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In John chapter 4 verse 35 to verse 36, say, lift up your eyes. Don't say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. He that reapeth receiveth wages. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Somebody say amen. Laboring with the Father for the harvest of the earth. Many people are not bothered about what bothers God. It was J.F. Kennedy who said, ask not what will my country do for me, but now what will I do for my country? When Saul of Tarsus was saved on the road to Damascus, he didn't say, Lord, what will you give me? He said, Lord, what will you have me do? The time has come when we should begin to ask ourselves, am I doing enough for the kingdom? I traveled all the way to Nicaragua. Going is 16 hours. Coming was about 15 and a half hours. It was a bit faster. I believe there was still wind on the plane moving forward. Can you imagine 32 hours? And it was not money you went to make. You paid your hotel bill. You paid your flight. You took, and the man stood up on the altar and said, this man came all the way to us here. He said he paid everything. We didn't give him anything. We didn't give him a dime. He said it on the stage of the crusade. What is it that drives you? The stress of the flight is worse than the stress of the preaching. All you need is to fly 3 hours. Fly 5 hours. Not to talk of 16 hours. And then God help you if you enter some bad weather. Because if a vehicle enter gallop, it can shake and you talk of anything. But what if I enter gallop up? Because when you say going to Philippines, we are going to go to the Pacific places in October, in November. The Pacific, that is Solomon Island, Vanuatu, Fiji, and then Papua New Guinea, those areas there. If we are to meet the service on Tuesday evening, we should start from Abuja on Sunday. Yes. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What about the stress of that? If it is a matter of preaching to people and seeing crowd gather, it can happen anywhere here. Anywhere here. It's happening already. I mean, anywhere here. Stadium overflowing. So it's not crowd they are looking for. It's not souls of people in territories of the world as led by God. Money, not a factor. I was to give them money. And as usual, I didn't carry a CC in my pocket. But I'm going to send it to them. Upon preaching to them. Upon taking care of the bills. You will see the clip shortly. Are you following what I'm saying here today? This is very, very important. We all may not do at that level. But at the level of your colleague in the office, at the level of your family members, your classmates, your schoolmates. I have done class get-together twice. My secondary school classmates, I hosted them here. My medical school classmates, I hosted them here. The purpose of the hosting was not socialization. It was evangelization. So that in case there is any among them that has not yet known God, and here is where I am. I mean, you're already preaching and people are giving their life to Christ, yet you are still struggling for classmates. You are still struggling for secondary classmates, university classmates. You are still struggling. This is what life is all about. And if we are going to begin to pursue God and do the things that is authentic spiritually, you will not beg for the blessing of God. You won't beg Him. Finally, laboring with God. Look at what the Bible said in Isaiah 52 verse 7. Isaiah 52 and in verse 7. It said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. Any man who is publishing salvation, his feet must be peace. His feet must be beautiful. God will ensure that he steps in pleasant places, a goodly heritage. In Romans chapter 10 verse 15, he repeats that. Romans 10, 15, he said, and how this shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The feet of them. And that bring life like this. These beautiful feet, beautiful steps, beautiful destiny, beautiful. Let's labor with our Father for the harvest of the earth to the extent that we can. Finally, I called it laying treasures in and for eternity. In this service, I want to address it as laying hold of eternity, laying hold. You are not letting eternity slip your hand. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 12, he said, fight a good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Lay hold on eternal life. What are we to do here? Number one is living with the consciousness of the eternal consequences of life's actions. Again, living with the consciousness of the eternal consequences of life's actions. That is, whatever I do in this life, there is a consequence in the afterlife. We live with that mindset. That's authentic spirituality. Where you didn't forget yourself in this world. Was it not Jim Reeves who sang?
This world is not my own. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels speak on me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels speak on me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. If it is not time for you to go yet, the second line is not, may not be for you yet. But the first line is for everybody. This world is not our home. No matter how young or old. Many of us are too relaxed in this worldly system. We are too comfortable with worldly people. Too at home. So that is the first thing. Every authentically spiritual person, in those days they used to call SU people, they are so heavenly minded, they are earthly useless. In a sense, it is good to be heavenly minded and earthly impactful. Your mind is in heaven, but on earth you are impacting, chasing devils back to hell. But it's very important. It's very important. He said, brethren, it does not yet appear what it will be. But when we see him, can you look for it for me? Believe 1 John chapter 3. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be as he is. All right, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know the full details of how everything will be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Look at the blast, verse 3. He said, and every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So the thought of eternity is thought of purity. It carries a purifying power. It carries a sanctifying power. When once in a while you remember that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It carries a cleansing, a washing power. Those who don't have that thought in them don't purify themselves. But those who pull in that thought once in a while, you know what? After all is said and done, all the money I'm making will end here on it. All the cloth and everything will end here on it. What really matters is what I will answer God. That thing just puts your mind in perspective. It puts your life in perspective, your life in order. So that all the compromises to make the money becomes useless. It becomes unnecessary. All the kill this person, trample on their head in order to become this becomes unnecessary. Lie against this person, be a permanent enemy of this one. Don't greet this person. It becomes unnecessary. You don't greet that person and you maintain that bitterness to go where, heaven or hell. Ask yourself, to end where? That is, you hate that man with a passion. He has said sorry, you refuse to receive the sorry. And you lock him up in your heart. So that you die and go and meet who? God or devil? The devil that hates like that, of course. The devil that is wicked like that is who you live with for the rest of your life. God is love. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you begin to think like that, it becomes unnecessary. This one is my friend, this one is my enemy. It becomes unnecessary. You love everybody. You may not have a quality, you may not have a tight friendship relationship with everybody, because that is not possible. But you don't classify, this is a no-go enemy zone. No, so when this kind of thought, I am going somewhere after this life, it puts your mind, it calms you down. He makes certain things on you. Forgive people in advance. You are in a hurry. You are going somewhere. When they invite you into gossip, you are not interested. They invite you into backbiting, you are not interested. They invite you to kill somebody's character, you are not interested. When your journey is not far, tiny things matter to you. When your sight, when you are, where you are looking at, if it is not very far, every tiny thing around you means everything to you. But when you are going somewhere, have you ever seen somebody running Olympic and somebody insulted him from the stand? He's running marathon. They say, they insulted him. He says, see your Caleb, you think you want to compete with people? Who do you think you are? Yeah. And then you leave the track and say, be careful with yourself. And then he returns back to the track. I think he's already failed. But anybody who knows where he's going in life, like Elisha, he wants to collect double portion. Some people were distracting. Do you know God will carry your master from you? Did your master tell you? He's a wicked man, oh. He's going to leave you today and he has not told you. I know it. Hold your peace. I'm too busy. There's something I'm looking for. Just face your life. Let me face my life. And he got that double portion. If he allowed those people to pull him into what they were looking for, he wouldn't have gone anywhere. You will go places. Somebody say loud, amen. So authentic spirituality is laying hold on eternity. The consequences, consciousness of consequence, and the second dimension of it is maintaining and servicing your account with God. Maintaining and servicing your account with God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to verse 17. He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I am desiring fruit that will abound in your account with God. Account. 18. And he said, but I have all and abound. And I am full. Why? I received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing unto God. And my God, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You service your account with God in heaven. You know, when the bank tells you your account is dormant, it can be closed. Say, Lord, it's Paul the Apostle that used the word account. My account with God can't be dormant. Paul was a missionary, and the people were enhancing his missionary work. They ensure he moved from place to place. He wasn't stranded. What they were doing, he called it an account that they had with God. So if I can be involved in mission, like what's going on here right now, crusades are on, diverse things, Lord, I can't be left behind. I may not go physically, but this, my seed will go, my prayer will go, my goodwill will go, my my resources will go, no matter how little. It's an account. And when it is time to meet him, say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter the joy of your father. That's what some of us are looking forward to hearing. Well done, you did well. You did well. You tried your best. How many of you know it's more convenient? This is already a crusade church. Oh. Is that alright? This is a crusade church. Can sit here every Sunday. There's no need to go anywhere. No need to go anywhere. You sit at home every Sunday. It's far more convenient. Why the pressure? I'm in Buhari this evening. Buhari crusade this evening. I'm in Buhari tomorrow. I'm in Cameroon on Thursday. And on Friday. Why? I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. There is a night time when Jesus comes, when no man can do the walk. Catherine Kuhlman said, I may not have done everything perfectly, but she said, when I meet Jesus, I will say to him, Master, I may not have done everything very perfectly, but you know I tried my best. I tried my best. I did what I could. And what I'm waiting to hear is, well done. Many times I'll tell God, Lord, maybe more people could have been healed or saved or delivered. Maybe there was a hindrance from me. I'm sorry. Whatever it is. Next time, show me what to do more. So that more people can be saved, more people can be healed, more people can be delivered. So we are out on the assignment of doing what we can and letting God do what we can't. And I welcome you. Don't let the walk happen without you. To the tiniest possible ability you have, do what you can. Stand up on your feet. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 lift your hands and appreciate him for his word to us today. Father, I am here to thank you for your word to me today. Help me to be real. Help me to be authentic. Help me to be genuine. Help me not to be fake. Mashakola bada 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 bada. When the roll is called up, when your dedication to God is obvious to both people and the devil, your distinction from God will also be obvious. We'll take this song, Oh Jesus, I have promised. to serve you to the end. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side.
Go.
Oh Jesus,
I promise
to serve thee to the end.
Be thou forever.
Song is on. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. While the song is on, anywhere you are this morning, yes, it's still morning, and you are saying, Pastor, I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want this authentic Christianity. I want to be saved. I want a conscience that is clear. I want to live in the fear of God.
You carry your Bibles and bags from everywhere you are and rush to the front here. Don't wait for who will come out first. Be the first to come. You've been touched by the word. You've been impacted by the word. You want to live for God, not for yourself. I expect you to be on your way out already. You don't let me finish what I'm saying before you come. Carry your Bibles. Carry your bags and run to the front here. I'll give you the count of 10 as you come.
My faith has found a resting place, not in the eyes of me. I trust in the living one, whose forgiveness shall be.
So,
I come to be ever
captain. Oh,
I need all I need, I need all
take the third verse anywhere you are today, and you are saying to me, Pastor, I've given my life to Christ before like this, but I need to rededicate my life now because I know God is not happy with me, He's not happy with the way I am living. Carry your Bibles and your bags and come forward here, join us in the front. Alternatively, you are bound by a drug or an addiction, a lifestyle that has held your life down. And you want that yoke broken. You want the chain of it broken. And you want to live for God. Quickly come, join us. I don't want to smoke again. I don't want to drink again. I don't want womanizing again. I don't want prostitution again. I don't want gambling again. I don't want fraud. Quickly come forward.
I need no one.
Keep coming, one.
I need no one.
Third line.
That He died for me. My heart is beating on the wind. The breathing water of God. Salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through His
blood. I need.
Jesus.
My great defeat shall be the sea. The lost he came to save. For in his breath God's blood is shed. For he is life.
I need
I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Place your hand on your chest, all of you here, and say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I ask for forgiveness for my sins. Today, it is my decision to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. The grace to live for God again, you release upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.